Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Health Blast Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher of Alternative Medicine and Wellness Radio. It is going to be a great year, 2015. We are going to have several of our guests who are inspirational, telling their stories, sharing a lot of their tips about how to live a holistic life and love it. We all have all kinds of challenges these days, and we say we'll try things. We don't get the greatest results, or sometimes it's just mediocre. But we're going to learn to love a holistic life. Isn't that great? We're going to learn that it's great to get up in the morning. It's fabulous if it rains, and it's absolutely incredible that we have these challenges and all of the things we can learn from that. And isn't life just a roller coaster? So thank you so much for joining us. Please check us out on Health Blast Radio on Facebook and also Health Blast 2015 on Twitter. Also our website, drjeanettegallagher.com for more information. We also have a women over the age of 50 group starting February 1st, which will be sharing a lot of information about how to help us and ourselves. As we are women, we are also caregivers. We are also part of this world that will be bringing more compassion and empathy towards others. Please do join, and please do check it out on our website, Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. And now, back to the show. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the show, Alternative Medicine and Wellness. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Today we are talking about a great topic, energy medicine and a medical intuitive. Let me tell you, there's so many people these days that say, I'm just doctor shopping, I'll hear what you have to say, I'll take it, see if it can cure me and heal me within the next 24 hours. If your pill, your surgery, your diagnosis, whatever that might be, just doesn't float the bill, I'm on to the next one. How many people have said that? I think I hear that quite often, and even more so these days. But what we really understand, or need to look at rather, is that when you walk into the doctor and you sit down and they're not even looking at you, they're looking at their computer, they have not touched you the entire time you're there at the visit, and all you're doing is sitting there blurbing out your symptoms, and they, in their head, are putting it into this linear kind of checklist, and when it comes up to the end, they're going to, quote, give you a diagnosis, and here's what the diagnosis renders, is this treatment. And that is the paradigm that many, many practitioners are working from. And it's really important to understand that, because once you understand that, then you can say, okay, this is something I can work with. This is something I cannot work with, but this is also something that if I understand it, I don't go in consistently and saying that I'm expecting the results to be different. You know, so if I'm going into 100 different doctors and they're all telling me this, okay, and I really just want to be healed, maybe you need to look inside what needs to be healed inside of you instead of it looking for the outside. Isn't that something different? Because maybe part of their therapies and treatments are necessary, or you may feel that that's something that you want to pursue, but there's always something else that contributed to it. There's always something else that may be able to assist you along the way to make it easier, or there may be something else that could actually take you down a different path. So there are many alternatives and choices these days, and it's really important to understand, hey, I have choices. Instead of thinking, my insurance says this, this is my only choice, do or die, I take it. You know, it's like this little, you know, I'm almost 60, if we remember the old cartoons, where they used to have the little kid and he used to have a piece of paper on his hand and he'd write a name on it, a label, and he'd stick it on his forehead. So I don't know how many things you could stick on your forehead, but hey, I've got a really big forehead. I guess I could fit a lot of those stickers on there, but, you know, I just, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to walk around and be those labels, or do you just want to say something's not right and maybe I'll just take a different road? Today my guest is Shanna McRae. She has written the book, The Healing Effects of Energy Medicine, which is her memoirs, and it's really important to understand this, that there are a lot of people out there who are doing healing and different types of healing, And it's really easy to be able to start experimenting with some of these different types of healing, because you can say, this one feels okay to me, this one might not feel okay to me, and start sensing and seeing that there are other things out there. Shannon, thank you so much for joining us today. I think it's going to be a great show, and I'm really honored to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's my great pleasure to be here. I'm looking forward to this time.
So, Shannon, don't you think that everything has really been changing these days, and people are just going, you know, I feel like I'm standing in the middle of a vortex with all this stuff spinning around me, and what do I do, right?
I find that a lot with people. They've gone from doctor to doctor. They've had one treatment after another, and then when they give up, they'll find someone like me and call me, and then we can work with something to get the root of the real issue. And then they move into a healing. And it's always been my goal to bring people to the point where they can not only learn how to help themselves, but actually help themselves. So it's a wonderful life I'm having and have had.
You know, it's so totally different, the way of looking at healthcare. I can remember you as I are a little bit older, which, so we can reflect back on, you know, 50s, 60s, and 70s, how healthcare has changed so drastically, don't you think?
It really has changed drastically, and I chuckled to myself when you talked about the doctor sitting at the computer and not even touching the person, because that is so common. You know, there they are, and they come up with a diagnosis that fits with their own experience. They haven't really taken a good look at the person and had an understanding of what that person is like as a person. They just go by what they know as far as diagnostic tools are concerned. So we've lost the ability to really connect with other people in the medical field, I think.
You know, I think it's so interesting. You know, I've reflected upon this on many shows before and said that the doctors out these days, really, they are pretty much living in a world of glass, because what they are able to do, what they are able to, the way in which they need to perform, it really needs to be inside a glass bubble, because that is their paradigm, that is the world they live in, and they know there are consequences when you come outside of that bubble. Granted, probably, you know, if you're doing cancer, you know, you get a little bit, tiny bit more freedom sometimes. But generally, all of the others, you really get confined to this glass bubble. And if you're going to these providers and you're expecting anything outside that glass bubble, you kind of always will meet with the same answer. So you're really going down a road saying, ooh, let me hit that wall again. Ooh, let me hit that wall again. Ooh, that wall didn't hit me yet, you know? Or, you know, and it's sort of like keep running into it until finally you say, oh, that doesn't feel good anymore. I'm not going to do that, right?
You're right. Absolutely correct. And those are the people that will eventually find someone like me or come to me, because they've had it with not being able to be treated properly or to take a look at what might be causing their problems. So I've learned that not only that, but medical doctors can only say so much and do so much because of the rules and regulations and laws and so on that they have to follow now.
And, you know, the glass bubbles, they go all around, too, because alternative healthcare practitioners also have their own glass bubble. They're not able to say certain words, vocabulary also. So really understand, you know, the limits of everybody's professions and say, I'm going to take the best from that appointment, and I'm going to take the best that that healer has to share with me and utilize that. So really you may need, as I would call your healthcare team, I always think that you need maybe a medical practitioner, maybe you need an alternative practitioner, maybe you need someone who does some sort of touch therapy, and then maybe someone with talk. Now, it's great to have that, you know, all in one, but these days, you know, that's a great start, is saying what in this four-tier paradigm might I be missing. and it will start to help you see that your body is not made up of fragments. It's really made up of all of these different entities and how your body is all connected.
Well, that's true. I work with several people on an ongoing basis who have a nice team, and I'm a member of their team in their approach to wellness, and it's very helpful. And when I tune in to people, I don't see their physical structure or their faces, what they're wearing, how they're walking or sitting. I tune into the energy field so I can just bypass all that external stuff and go in and work with them as one being to another being.
Yeah, and I think that's so vitally important. You know, a lot of times people will go in and they will say, you know, something is broken or something's hurting, but they're not going to tell you the real source of it. It could be abuse at home. It could be mental or emotional. It could be something in your life that just isn't working. But given you're not going to talk to your practitioner about these things because it's not their, quote, field of expertise, we're really with you. By sensing into that, you can bypass all of those, sometimes those barriers or those walls that people put up and be able to facilitate getting help almost, you know, right on the bat, don't you think?
That's very true. I'm able to understand people at a different level, a deeper level, and, you know, just by talking with them for a few minutes, I can get a feel for where the problem might be mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and then we go on from there, and I do a little bit more probing, and then there we go, off on a healing path of some kind.
Right. Well, Shannon, could you briefly share with us a little bit about how you grew up a little bit? I mean, I know for myself, I remember driving down the highway with my mother, and it was snowing like blazes outside. And I said to her, I said, this lady coming on the exit's going to hit you. And my mother I guess I was in tune to her going to hit us. And my mother's like, no, she's not. Just be quiet. Turn your head. Like that was going to stop it, you know? And, of course, the woman hit us. And I go, oh, well, okay. And then it was like, you know, we have sometimes these senses and the experience. I think a lot of people have intuition and may have had these types of breakthroughs in our consciousness throughout our childhood we may have not even recognized. And I think you just learned those, how to fine-tune those more.
Well, I did. As a small child, my mother was embarrassed and sometimes ashamed of me when I would blurt out things in a child's high voice when we were out in public. And she would very often have to put her hand across my mouth and then later ask me why I would do such a thing. And so I learned after a few experiences not to speak out loud, but to go inside and figure things out that way. I also was sick a lot as a child, and I think that I'm not quite sure why I was sick. It could have been that I didn't get the proper nutrition. It could have been that my mother wanted me to be sick so that I wouldn't be out in public with her. And so I spent a lot of time at home alone and began to go within and start seeing why this was happening, why that was happening in my life and in the lives of people around me. And it was an unhappy childhood, and yet I tuned in to what you might call spirit and guides, and they became my friends. And so my abilities just began to increase and increase and increase as a child, even though I couldn't talk about it anymore because I didn't want to be punished. But as I got older, the unseen world became as real to me as the seen world. And I was all like I had a foot in each one. And and so when I became older, I was able to get more training and understand how to help people with the talents and abilities that I was born with.
You know, it's so interesting. I can look back at what I've said in the, I think it was probably about maybe 20 years ago. I had said, you know, gosh, I speak more to the spirit world than I do to the human world. You know? So we, but if you think about that comment, I think in the past 20 years, it's starting, people are starting to say, okay, I might understand what you're saying. But I will say this, in the 50s and 60s when we grew up, there was no way, Jose, that you would ever say something like that, right? You would be off to the funny farm as they would commit you, right?
That's very, very true. That's very true. I learned to be careful early on in what I spoke about, and I would usually just, for my own safety and for the sake of being around other people who didn't know what I knew, I would just be silent and follow the crowd. Yet, at the same time, I knew what was taking place within me and within others. And so that's why I went on and became a psychologist and learned some healing modalities, such as Reiki and therapeutic touch and some of those arts that are so important in people's lives and the healing prospect.
And I think sometimes, too, we have to recognize that we may be, as we would say, ahead of our time. In other words, hone your skills as you can with the time that you have, because when the time comes, you'll be ready, which is for you, at, you know, in your many last few decades, because they weren't ready then, you know, and you needed that time to fine-tune.
That's so true. And it was a good time, too, to decide what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. So I had opportunities and really wasn't forced into doing anything that felt uncomfortable. I started drawing people to me just out of the blue, and it just kept mushrooming through the years. And, you know, even though I'm in my mid-70s, I will continue doing this until I can't do it anymore, and who knows when that's going to be. So I love what I do. I love to write. I love to read. I love to work with the energy medicine and healing. And my greatest passion is being able to say, I have helped this person, and this person is back on her feet or is back on his feet, and I had a part in that. And it's always such a wonderful feeling to feel that.
I think the greatest gift right now that so many people are needing, and I guess it's really not even just now, it's been all the time, is that they just need an extended hand or heart, as I would always say to people. Because
that's
really
true.
You know, you've got this like wall up against, and you feel, you know, so many people feel shame or pain or suffering or hurt. It could be physical, mental, emotional, whatever that might be. And really, for someone to be unjudgmental, to be totally in the space of loving and caring and extend their hand, and to have that joining is just exactly, I mean, how powerful is that? And you cannot put value on that, but that's really the ultimate heal and cure.
That is so true. That is so true. I've had enough experiences in my life where I've learned that you just don't judge. You just open your heart and let the people in. And once they sense and feel that, then they become more free and they open up to healing, whatever modality that may be. So.
Yeah, and sometimes it's hard to let go because you feel, so many people have carried so many decades or lifetimes of shame or pain, and consciously or not, and once that wall starts to disintegrate, I mean, people just can let loose, like, what I always like to call, you know, the crying river of tears, because really, once that starts going, just let it keep going. You know, if you've got to cry for 10 years, cry for 10 years. You know, I mean, whatever is in there will dissolve eventually.
Yes, and that's so true. Tears are healing. The tears of healing are wonderful, and even though the reason behind the tears might be terrible, tears heal, we know that. And so many, many times during the course of a week, I'll have several clients tearing up, and I can hear their tears, and I can see their energies as they're releasing all this stuck stuff.
Yeah, and that's not a bad thing. You know, I think...
No, it isn't.
Right. I mean, so many times, don't you hear the doctors say, man up, be strong, you know, put the great face on, or this is the one that really drives me crazy. Fake it until you make it. And it's like, really? I don't think
yes.
so.
No, not with the negative energies. You know, you want to bring positive thoughts and feelings to people so that they feel the hope that can be there for them. And giving people hope is a wonderful thing. And
but also
I love to do it.
Don't you think, though, it's maybe a time we see that maybe we need to see that everybody is vulnerable and everybody has those things inside of them. We walk around judging everybody and saying, oh, well, look at them. They're great. They're doing this. Why aren't I doing that? When really it's, as we've said, you know, how thick is their mask? But if everybody has a little bit crack of vulnerability, then that would really show that everybody is exactly where they're supposed to be and that everybody is the same in this world. And that vulnerability
everybody
is what's holding us back.
Mm-hmm. Everybody is the same in this world. And vulnerability can hold some people back if they're afraid to step out. And so when I work with people, they know that I care about them. I'm not judging them. The energies can flow. And we just take the next step in each way. One person is never the same as the other on some levels.
Yeah.
And yet we're all the same.
Absolutely. Well, Shannon, I think we have a caller. Would you like to take a call?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. Hello, caller. You're on the air with Shannon. What is your first name, and would you like to ask a question?
My name is Linda, and yes, I'd like to ask a question.
Hi, Linda.
Hi. Hi, Shannon.
Hi. How are you today, Linda?
Well, I could be better.
You could be better, hmm?
Yes. Yes. I believe that.
Mm-hmm. I do, too.
Go ahead.
Tell me the reason behind your call and how I might help you.
Well, I have a pain in my left hip, and it feels like it's hard to explain, but it feels like it's inside, like not on the surface. And I've had this now for at least 6 months, and it's very uncomfortable, and I've tried stretching and doing some exercise, but it always seem, you know, I wake up in the morning and there's this sharp pain.
And what happened just before this pain started? What was going on in your life?
Well, I've had a lot of stuff going on in my life.
Just before this pain.
I'd say I moved from California to Mount Prospect, Illinois.
Uh-huh. And I would say that's part of it. I can't say that you totally wanted to move, but you did move. And it looks to me like there's also a physical aspect to this. You could have strained something. But I also feel it's emotional. And going deep into the hip was a little bit of resistance there. So, does that make sense to you?
Oh, yeah. I moved here to take care of my mother and my uncle.
Okay. Well, the hip is part of the foundation upon which you stand. And you have a heavy load right now. So, I would say begin to accept that it's okay to do what you're doing. Do it to the best of your ability. And you will find that if you bless your hip for being part of your foundation, it will more easily give you an opportunity to help your family. And the hip won't hurt as much.
okay, I thought I was doing that, but I guess not. I guess I need to.
You may be doing it in the most wonderful way possible that you know of.
Mm-hmm.
But go deeper. Go deeper into the hip. Tell it you love it. Tell it that you know that it can take you through this period of time when you have so much caregiving to do. And bless yourself and the rest of your body as well. The hip will come around to understanding that it's doing a wonderful service, and because our bodies do have consciousness. And so if you ever feel any resentment or feeling overburdened, begin to thank the hip for being part of that foundation. And the pain should go away as soon as you've done your job in the thankfulness and the ability to do what you need to do for your family. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Thank you. I've got something to work with now.
Wonderful. I am so glad.
I have another tool, so
yes.
I really appreciate that.
Good, good. Happy to help you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you. And so, Shannon, could I ask you a question? So when we look at these things that are going on in our lives and we say, you're offering them other tools, where people say, you know, sometimes I thought I was doing that, as Linda had said, is there some level that we need to tune in a little bit deeper to, as you've said? But how can we do that? Like, how, what does that look like? Does it look like meditation? Does it look like physical work? Does it look like, what does it look like to you?
What it looks like to me is that there is a need for the person to take moments here and there and get quiet and go within, whether it is to tuning into their own hip or to realizing the value of what they're actually doing without any resistance or resentment, and becoming at peace. Whether it's sitting and meditating, listening to music that's soft and comforting, whether relaxing, seeing the hip performing better, talking to the hip, all of these modalities can help so much. And there's something else that I will sometimes give my clients to do, they've laughed at it through the years, but as I've heard back, I've understood that it really does work, and that is to put your negative emotions, your negative feelings, your pain, anguish, whatever it is, into a visualized pink balloon. Tie the knot, send it up into the universe as many times as you need to, and that works. It's one of the things I found that works through the years. Just using that visualizing technique, putting pain in the balloon, putting responsibility into the balloon, and sending it up into the universe. One woman said she used it 500 times in a week, and she was much better the next time I talked to her. So whatever works, works. It just is finding the right tools. I like meditation. So.
Now, I also, too, think that when we are becoming caregivers for other people, while we say we're able to take care of ourselves, you know, we're getting up, doing our own things and taking care of ourselves, really in a way, once you have become a caregiver, it has taken your road from you to now them. In other words, it's changed the label on your road. And sometimes when you change the label on the road, you know, you can sometimes feel like your other foot is just stuck in. Your one leg is stuck in the road of, I want it to be my path, but really the rest of your body is going into that other path because that's where you're currently needed, you know? So sometimes mm-hmm. you feel like you're almost, sometimes people even say dismembered, they use those words. They say, part of me is over there because that's really my path that I saw, that I felt, but now I'm commanded to this other path of which, of course, I've chosen it, you know, and I do it every day. but it might not just be where all of your heart has, you know, putting effort into it.
That's true. And you mentioned the word dismembered, and you also mentioned maybe something is stuck, one of the feet is stuck somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's happened probably with Linda. She has one foot stuck, maybe, and so she can't move the hip that's attached to the stuck leg.
Yeah.
Or the stuck foot.
I think that happens a lot when people come to practitioners, too. They say, you know, I'm coming to get the help, let's say, from an alternative or a regular medical or whatever it might be. But it might have one leg stuck in the resistance path that I'm going to go see. In other words, I'm going to peek outside and I'm going to adventure all that. But something in me is still holding me here. Or sometimes we say, I'm just held back by one tiny piece, the feeling of maybe where am I in the picture? You know, when they're caregivers, they say, there is no more me. You know, in other words,
that's
you're caring for others, but no one is bringing you a cake today and saying, how great was your day? Or no one is saying, I'm going to do all your chores today, see you later, you know, and let you go out and venture on your own. In other words, there is no respite. There is no day off. There is no feeling that they're able to be cared for also just by being them, you know. No one there
That's
to
so
celebrate
true.
Them.
That's so true. I worked with hospice for about 17 years and had some hospice patients of my own that I took care of from time to time. And I was actually being a respite person at that time for the family member that needed to get out, needed to get away,
mm-hmm.
away. And I remember so many times they would come back and say to me privately, oh, I just dreaded coming back, but I knew I had to.
Right.
And so, yes, and so people have to take on certain responsibilities that they really didn't plan on taking on. And so they're the ones that really need the hugs, the opportunity to be touched, a hand-holding, whatever it might be, because they're really doing such a great service for the person that is ill and beginning to make a transition. So it's so important for caregivers to have people around them to give them a break, to give them a hug, a smile, a cup of tea or something to get them through this terrible time that they're in.
And also, too, when you're a caregiver for someone else, you may say, oh, but I am doing it lovingly. I am doing it caringly. But really, there's this little piece inside you that's always maybe, like as we've said, you know, that foot in another field where you would like to say, that's how I would like it to play out. So I really think there is a difference there, don't you?
I think there is a difference, yes. It's so true. You want to be there, and you know you're doing a good thing, but there is that little
right.
piece that says, I resist this, I resent it, I should be living my life differently, and now I have to do this. So, yes, there is a compassion that needs to come forth, self-compassion, and also compassion for the person that is being taken care of.
Well, Shannon, we have another caller.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Hello, caller. What's your name, and would you like to ask a question for Shannon?
Yes,
hello.
Hi, this is Robert. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, hi, this is Robert. I'm calling from New Orleans.
Good morning, Robert. How can I help you?
Well, I have a severe pain in my right underneath my right shoulder blade that comes all the way up underneath my right breast. And I'm concerned about it because I was in between driving two different vehicles, and I don't know if it's just that I was sitting wrong or if there was something else going on.
You were in between two vehicles?
Right. I was driving one vehicle for a certain amount of time. Then I changed to another vehicle with a different seating position. So I don't know if maybe I was sitting squinched up, if that makes sense, or or if there's, you know, something else going on with the pain.
How long have you had the pain?
At least a month.
And when did you start switching between vehicles?
In and around that time.
Okay, so that's part of your answer right there, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It's part of the answer. I would say, I'm just going to get quiet here for a few seconds and look in there and see what else I can see. You're going to have to change the seating position in one of those cars.
Okay.
And I would also recommend a physical therapy session or two, or a good massage therapy to bring things back into focus for you so that the pain can leave. I don't feel like it's really emotional or mental. It looks to me like it is physical. And
okay.
If you can make adjustments to the cars and get a little bit of body work, I think you'll feel much better about it.
Perfect. That's what I was hoping for.
Oh, good, good. Well, my best to you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
You're
Bye-bye.
Welcome. Bye.
And Shannon, so we look at things, some can be physical, some can be emotional, and some could be, you know, varying different aspects of what might be hurting you. And really, it's about having someone, I've always said to people, just talk, you know. And I think your answers usually come when someone is speaking. Eventually, if you let them speak long enough and speak about without limitations or speak about what's in their heart, they will really have the answers. And so rarely does anyone actually speak, and so rarely does anyone actually listen, right?
That's true. That's true. And a good example is the man who, with the hurt shoulder blade and driving two different vehicles, the hurting starting about the same time. So sometimes it's just a matter of getting a different perspective on what's going on.
And it's totally different time, yes, to look at different things. I think we have one more caller. Let's see.
Okay.
Hello. What is your name, and would you like to ask a question of Shannon? Hello. Okay, we'll put that one back on hold. Maybe they're on mute and didn't realize it. And Shannon, I think sometimes, you know, we are expecting answers and therapies and treatments that you say, but you didn't give me anything to do. You didn't give me a bunch of supplements. You didn't give me a prescription. So you really didn't, quote, help me. But really, sometimes all of those things, you know, even myself being a naturopathic physician, when people come in, they're expecting to dump all of their prescriptions on the table. And then they're expecting to walk out with a bunch of supplements. And it's like all you've done is just traded one thing for another. But really, who's the one that's going to heal? Is it that bottle? You know, and they
exactly.
look at you and they don't really understand that, you know.
That is so true. That is so, so, so true. Sometimes people will mail me a long list of the supplements they are taking.
Yes.
And so I can look over that list and think, okay, they don't need this, they don't need that, they don't need this, they don't need
right.
that. They can save their money. But there are some supplements that I will usually encourage people to take when they have certain conditions, simply because
mm-hmm.
they're doing something to facilitate their own healing. And
yeah.
and I do believe in supplements, but I think you can take too many sometimes.
Well, you know, I'm the biggest one. I have, you know, they send them to me all the time, and those that I've purchased also, but I've got hundreds of them. And I'll put them there, and I'll say, you know what? I'll take one or two of them, and I'll say, okay, I got what I needed from that, and I'll set it down, and I may not come back again to that bottle for a year or two, you know?
That's
and
right.
Because, you know, we think if you get a prescription, you know, I always caution people, when the doctor or an alternative, anyone is handing you a prescription of medication or drugs or supplements, the first question out of your mouth should be, how long do I take this, and is this going to cure my situation, or is it going to just help me along the situation, or is it going to be for life? Now, those are three totally different scenarios. One could
That's
be
true.
2 weeks, 3 weeks. One could be 6 months to a year. One could be forever. And no one ever asks questions at all. You know, they just sheepishly, hey, give it to me, and, you know, I'll put it in my pocket and I'll take it because you said so.
Exactly, exactly. And so I know people do that with prescriptions, and they think that their medical doctor, and this is no reflection on you, but they think their medical doctor might be God, you know, so they have to do what God says, and there's no other way. And I see that in certain generations. I see, you know what I mean by that. Yeah.
Right.
So people, younger people are more able to decide what they want to do and don't think of medical doctors as God. They start to question, I think, more than older people do. And so I will usually recommend some anti-inflammatories for people if I see that there is a lot of inflammation going on in their bodies. And, of course, they would be supplements. And I can't diagnose or prescribe, of course, because I'm not a medical doctor or a naturopathic physician, but I can suggest or recommend, and nobody needs to be on everything forever. In fact, I think it's good to take a break from supplements once in a while.
Right.
And just, and then come back one at a time.
You know, it's the funniest thing. You could say to people, you could look at the different generations, and if they're given a prescription, if you think about, okay, we're all getting ready to go out to eat, and there's this family in the room. I always set up the scenario. I say there's this family in a room of many generations, you know, 20s, 30s, 50s, 60s, and 80s, and they're all getting ready to go out to eat lunch. And you say to them, okay, everybody ready to go, and you kind of rush them. And you get in this car, and all of a sudden, an 80-year-old might say, oh, I forgot my prescription. I got to go back, you know?
Yes, that's so true.
Yeah. And then you get the 50- and 60-year-old that said, oh, I forgot to take my supplements. I'll do it later when I get home, you know?
Yes.
And then you get the 20s and 30s that say, oh, goodness, you know, I'm just going to meditate right here where I am and I'll feel great. Look at those three contrasts of how different everybody looks at things, but yet how we are evolving, yet where some people are and where others are not.
So true. I do find that with the older generation. They're more attached to prescription medications, and don't worry about the side effects because their doctor wrote a script for them. And other people are more interested in the supplements. And then the younger people know that they can get rid of them, get rid of whatever would be ailing them by meditation or just thinking positive thoughts. So, yes, it's so true. So true.
You know, and it's so funny, though, you know, when you look at the older generation, they can really learn a lot from the younger. And, you know, I think a lot of the elders are learning different techniques and therapies. And, you know, hey, a lot of the old hippies, right?
Yes.
They're just saying,
yes.
I need to come back to that, right, you know? And then, you know, I'll always remember this. My grandmother, she was 99 years old. And I can remember she was always doing things her own way and stuff, you know. She was pretty steadfast in her ways. And as she got older, you know, she had been put in a nursing home by one of her sons. And it was interesting that they said, you know, well, she isn't, the nursing home would say, she's not acting the way she's supposed to, you know. She's sitting in her room, and she's just not really interacting with others. She doesn't want to get up and, you know, dance and joggle with everybody else. She doesn't want to come to, quote, arts and crafts. And, you know, and what they did then was they did shock therapies until she eventually passed away. And I found that so unfortunate because, really, what they had not done was reflected on my grandmother's life in the first place. I lived with her for a very long time, you know, when she was in her 60s and 70s, and that was her routine. She got up in the morning, had a great breakfast. She went outside. She sat on the back porch and watched the birds for 4 or 5 hours. She went in, had lunch, you know. She did the same thing in the afternoon, and then she went in and had her dinner, watched TV, and that was her life. Yet when it doesn't fit into someone else's paradigm, we're so ready to throw rocks at it and say, doesn't work, can't be that, you know, and how unfortunate.
I feel that it really is unfortunate. Each person is an individual. We have our individual characteristics, our likes, our dislikes, and being in a nursing home environment or assisted care can be very traumatic for people, and they don't take the time to listen or to observe what the person likes to do and what's going on in their lives. They don't get it. They're trying to put everybody into a mold, and that mold will usually take someone out, unfortunately.
Yes, and, you know, we can, you know, just feel so much compassion for the elders who have Alzheimer's or dementia and they're put into those facilities, and we just know that, you know, God bless their spirit is all we can say, right?
That's so true. And God bless the spirit of the people that didn't know any better, the family members. I don't think they realize what alternatives there are for them. And that's when my heart begins to ache a little bit, and I open up to more compassion for people who don't understand that there are some ways around it that they haven't discovered yet and probably wouldn't discover. So they do the best they can, but their loved one is behind doors that have locks on them. And certainly not free at all. But,
you know, I guess I'm the type of person, you know, we could drive down the street and for some reason I will look at the car next to me and I'll either see a woman crying. And I'm going like, why did that just enter into my vision today? You know? or we could be driving down the street and stop at a red light and I'll look to my right and there's a little old lady sitting on the bench. I can remember this vividly. Sitting on the bench with her, you know those big white pails that they put paint in? Well, she had one of those and she was carrying her belongings in that. So she was folding up the newspaper she slept on the bench on and she had it with her in her pail. And, you know, I see these things, and I don't think of them as, so many people say, why do you pay attention to that? And I think, why would you not pay attention to that? Why would you not say that to bless that person, you know, or to understand? So I guess I probably saw the vulnerability in those people. And others just pass by, and you go, wow.
That's so true. Well, you know, you can thank yourself that you see the vulnerability in people. And, you know, when you send blessings to anyone, they do receive them in one form or another. So, you know, it's a blessing that you have found you can bless others and that you are a blessing. Too often, I think there's the judgment that goes along with people who are, let's say, down and out.
Right.
Have we walked in their shoes? Would we walk in their shoes? It'd be best to treat them with compassion rather than with judgment and other negative thoughts that we might have. So, you know, you receive blessings too when you're blessing others, when you are blessing others.
And I think sometimes people get caught up in the separation between you as you feel your life is, and those others is just the mask that you wear. So really, how thick can you almost like you feel, I have this vision of, you know, oh, I, some people say, but this is who I am, and they've got a mask underneath them, and they're kind of like floating high in the sky so they can look down on others. I'm going, wow, I can't wait till that little balloon gets a little pop, you know?
So true. So true. Yes, and we are all one. And, you know, if we made everything as small as possible, as what scientists tell us, we would all, everybody on the planet, be sitting on the head of one little pin. And when I close my eyes to tune into people at a distance, they and I become one because I'm in their energy field, they're in mine, and the flow takes place there. So there is no separation. So, you know, it would be mindful of us to remember that the person sitting on the park bench or sleeping on the park bench or the lawn is part of us as well.
Yeah,
and I love that mindfulness is becoming more popular now. Popular isn't the right word, but I'm glad it's coming forward.
Well, I think it's mindfulness, too, but I think also, too, to be very cautious that, you know, a lot of times I've seen this even on popular social media where people would see posts like their vulnerability and others would say, oh, that person needs a house. Oh, that person needs this. Oh, I need to get them that. When really I posted on the bottom, did you ever ask them what they need?
Exactly.
A woman that is on the street corner with her kids and doesn't have anything does not, quote, necessarily need a house. Maybe what they're asking for is, could someone guide them to a place where they will feel cared for? It's not necessarily always a house and money and maybe signing up for food stamps. That's not what they're asking at all.
No, it isn't. And I think people need to be mindful of these people that do need that type of help. A place to go, someone to help them fill out papers even. Who
right.
knows? There are so many ways that we can help others. And I think we need to be more open to all of these avenues.
You know, well, Shannon, this is a great talk we had today. I think we've really gone back and forth and haven't taken a breath, huh?
I think so, too. I've really enjoyed it immensely.
Oh.
It's been fun. It's been enlightening. It's an honor to be able to share things that I know and to chat with someone who knows what I'm talking about.
Oh, doesn't that drive you crazy? Wait, sometimes a guest might send me questions so that I will feel informed. And I says, no, that's okay. I promise. I promise I don't need those questions.
No, you don't.
Oh, goodness. And yes, it's sometimes, and I think that's so important, and I think that's really going to be the icing in the or the candle on the cake, what you and I have been talking about this whole hour, is really about speaking with like-minded people. Because sometimes when someone really feels, hey, I really feel this pain, and like our callers, you know, it's deep inside, but I really don't know what it is. I mean, can you imagine telling that to some people? They think you're a loony bin. But sometimes
they
speak with people like you and I, they're like, oh, okay, you do get what I'm saying.
Exactly. It makes more sense then.
Yes, it's so much easier.
It is, Shannon, easier.
Could you share with the listeners a little bit more information about you, how they could find out about your work, and how they could contact you if they'd like to have a session?
Of course. I have a website. It's called consciousenergies.com. And my telephone number is, my incoming number is 775-315-7232. And when a person makes an appointment or wants to make an appointment with me, the first thing I would do is to ask them why they wanted to make an appointment with me. And then we would move on to supplements. I would ask about supplements. I would ask about conditions. I might scan the body, and I might give one or two little assignments that I've picked up through the years that will help a person move through stress. I love what I do, and I'm booked out any time from 2.5 to 3.5 weeks. And I live in the Pacific time zone, and yet I work in all time zones, so I can accommodate all people, Mondays through Fridays. And what can I say about myself? I have had a very interesting and full life, and I love my life. I love my surroundings. I have a cat named Whiskers, who is always with me when I'm on the phone. He's a big, big indoor cat, and he likes to work with me, I think. Life has been wonderful to me. At the same time, I've had many, many learning experiences that most people wouldn't have wanted to have. And yet they give me the compassion to help others and to understand where others are coming from.
I absolutely think that those are vital. You know, I've always said, you know, when you see a cardiologist who may be appearing as though they don't have the compassion, sometimes either they're hurting so deeply inside or maybe they have not experienced that. So all you need to do is recognize that and say, is this what I choose? And maybe find those people that might mesh with the feelings and the situations or the compassion or the empathy that you're looking for. There are millions and millions and millions of people. Just keep on going till you find what works, right?
Exactly, exactly. And the what works part is out there if they just keep looking.
Absolutely.
And,
I encourage everybody. It doesn't matter how many times you ask. You know, sometimes people will say to me, but I'm stuck. I'll say, oh, well, I have this person. Give them a call. I have that person. Give them a call. I have that. Try that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everyone needs that little flame, but it's got to come from a different source. They may all look like the same, but they're all coming from a different source. So why not try, right?
Exactly. Why not try? And, you
why
know,
not
I forgot
try?
To, yes, I forgot to mention that my lifelong dream was to have a book published about my experiences, and it was.
Yes.
So
yes.
I'm so happy with the healing effects of energy medicine. It tells about me, it tells about many of my clients, and it tells why I am the way I am.
Well, so. Shannon, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, you're very welcome. I have certainly enjoyed it immensely as well. And I just wish you many blessings in what you're doing for others.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Wonderful.
If you'd like to find out more information about Shannon, please do check on the bottom of today's show page. The link is there directly to her website. And also her new book is The Healing Effects of Energy Medicine. It is now available. You can get it on Amazon, or you can just click onto the website that we've listed, ConsciousEnergies.com, and you'll be able to be directed directly to that book. Thank you so much for joining us today. It's been an absolute pleasure, and have a great day. Thank you so much for joining us today here on Alternative Medicine and Wellness. It has been a pleasure to be with you, and we hope you found more information that will be able to make your life just a little bit easier. You know, it's not an easy trip all the time in this life, and sometimes we say, you know, if I could just maybe hear it from somebody else, or maybe hear that someone else's story might be similar to mine, or maybe just gain a few extra tips to make my journey a little bit easier. Please join us on Health Blast Radio every day for the year 2015, where we will be having so many different practitioners, all kinds of authors, just regular people like you and I, having a casual conversation about a different topic almost every day. Check out our website for more information on the Women Over Age 50 group. It is drjeannettegallagher.com. You can always just Google my name, Dr. Jeannette Gallagher, and you will find out so much more information about upcoming radio shows, about other websites I have, other programs we are currently doing. And if you just need help, please pick any of the websites, any of the links, and send me a private message. Thank you so much for joining us today on Health Blast Radio. It's been an absolute pleasure, and please, just in the morning, before you reach for that cell phone or the television remote or even your glasses, open your eyes and say, thank you, God, for another day. It's been a pleasure. And have a great day.